Today, in part 7 of the series Dark Clouds, Silver Linings, we tackle the silver lining of failure. What is your attitude toward failure? What about God's attitude toward your failure? We've all felt the sting of failure, but what does failure expose? About us, our pride, about God, and His mercy. Here's Alex Wong.
When we think of failure, it's always kind of a painful thing. You know, failure is a painful thing. But there's quite a range of how you can fail. I mean, at the small end, maybe I struck out every time I was at bat last night. Or, you know, I want to go to the prom, but nobody asked me. But on the bigger end, I got this lump growing in my stomach and, at least it's not cancer, unless it is. Or at least it's not malignant, unless it is, which is what my mom heard last week. And what did I do to get that? Or your wife or your husband just walked out on you. And what did I do, to cause that? Was it my fault? You know, failure's got quite a range. But what all of that has in common is that there's some expected result. There's some expectation or standard that you had in your mind, and you didn't come up to it, or the events didn't work out the way you thought. You know, I never smoked, but I didn't think I'd get lung cancer, which is what happened to a friend of mine. You have a result and you don't come up to it. So expectations is a really important part of that. I'll tell a story about our daughter, Jessica, who plays a lot of soccer. And a couple of years ago, she was in the U16s, and her club team made it to the level of the top 8 teams in the country. So the, two teams from the West, from the East, from the South, and the North, after winning all the levels of their local tournaments, these teams fly out and have a playoff and a championship. So her team made it through all that and got to that championship, and it was great for them. I remember her saying to me, "Gosh, Dad, we're just so happy to even be here. We're just so happy that we won our league." So they were there, and she said, "Anything could happen here, and we'll be happy. Any of these 8 teams could win this weekend, because they're all good. We're just coming to play." And that year, their 16th year, they won every game and they were the champ. The next year, the same group of kids as 17s went through that whole system and made it to the top 8, went to the tournament and lost every game. And, in their minds, they knew the same thing. In their minds, they knew it was great to be there. But you could see in the girls' faces and their hearts that they just felt like losers coming back the second year. But the expectations make a difference in whether you see it as a success or a failure. But then the question is, whose expectations? Whose standards? Where are you getting those standards from that you are measuring against? And in some things, like success in your school, or success in your job, or success or failure with friends in your social life, or, standing here, did you give a good message or did you not? Did you mess it up? A lot of those things are really just, those are worldly standards. Those things are really, it's about me. It's about me. And if I win, I feel good. And if I fail, I don't feel so good. To fail against the worldly standard, the pain is mostly your own pain. Sometimes the other person doesn't even know or doesn't care. But it's our pain, and it boils down to kind of like wounded pride. But there's other kind of things, like being obedient, being righteous, loving your neighbor as yourself, the thing God asks us to do. Those are God's standards. And we can succeed or fail against those standards. And when we fail, it's not so much our pain, it's really God's pain. You know, he wanted us to do something, and we didn't quite get there. It's his pain. But in both cases, God's got something for us in both cases. When it's our pain, when we fail to a worldly standard, yeah, it's painful. And you feel it. You can't walk around it. You know, God doesn't make it go away, but he does walk with you through it. And what God says to us through our pain is, there's more. It's not over yet. This is the first inning in a very long game. When it's God's pain, when we've sinned against him, he also has an answer. And that is, yeah, I've got pain, and it's because of you, because you've done wrong, but I'm going to forgive all that, and I've paid for all that. He offers us grace. Now, we're in a world, a society that really measures everything. We measure our academics, we measure our sports, everything is competitive. There's so much win-lose. The magazines portray these images that nobody lives up to. We can do some things to dial back a little bit from looking at everything in the world as success and fail. About 10, 15 years ago, when both of our kids were in elementary school, we did this go-kart thing over at Boomer's. And they were too young to drive those things. You know, these little track, it's gas-powered things. Pretty fast. They were too young to drive, so they were passengers. So one of our girls was with me, and another of our girls was with my brother. And as we were going around the track, you could see one of our girls was like, you know, come on. And the other girl, the one that was sitting with me, was saying, Daddy, we don't have to go fast. Let's just enjoy the ride. I'm not going to tell you which kid got into sports and which kid got into art. But that's a way of dialing back. And, you know, we used to live in Pasadena, where the Rose Bowl would happen every year. We actually lived on the parade route. So we could see this pageant happened. And, you know, most people on TV don't realize what all goes on. But about a week before the New Year's Day game, the two teams and everybody associated with them, the parents, the families, they fly in and they invade Pasadena. They're in the restaurants, they're walking through the downtown, they're just having a great old time. And then the parade happens on the morning, and then a few days before the game, an institution up in L.A., Lowry's Prime Rib, great steakhouse, right? They actually host both teams, the players, and they sit them around huge tables in the big L.A. store, and they serve them these giant steaks, and all the players are sitting together, and then in a couple days, they play a football game. And, you know, most years, that game doesn't really have any sort of significance in terms of a champion. You know, Pac-12 and Big Ten, they play each other, they have a football game. It's really about the pageantry and the game and the love of the sport. That is the whole Rose Bowl thing. And that's a way to kind of elevate from beyond having there be one guy won and one guy lost, one guy succeeded and one guy failed, to get beyond that. And we have some examples, even about looking beyond where we are from the Bible. If you consider how did Jesus feel? What was his viewpoint when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane?